I'm Kay Bess, and this is The Beehive. Women in voiceover, the voices of the fairer sex that keep the wheels of commerce and creativity moving in this country. Voices you hear every day, but names you likely don't know until now. Joining me today in the Hive is Virginia Hamilton. She is the in-show announcer for The View on ABC. She also does the promo campaign for The View, and she does promos for Good Morning America. This will be her eighth year doing On the Red Carpet for the Oscars, which is a 2 to 3 hour live show on the red carpet, which is amazing that you do that.
Absolutely frightening, yeah.
And she is also the imaging voice for over 15 affiliate TV stations across the country, including KABC Channel 7 here in Los Angeles.
Yes, my favorite.
So you have absolutely heard Virginia, and now you're going to get to know her a little bit better. So tell me how you first got into voiceover. What brought you to it?
I come to voiceover by way of acting. I guess usually people either come through radio or acting. Mine's acting. Wow. I was a full-time actor.
Were you doing television?
I was doing television, stage, some film. And I literally fell into some voiceover when I was living in Chicago. I had my own theater company there.
Okay.
And we did a musical and somebody came in and said, "You should do voiceover." And I'm like, "What's that?" And it became the thing that everybody, like commercials. So back in the day, commercials were the side job that just paid bills.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do them. They had to do them.
Yeah.
So voiceover was kind of like that. It was just another round of commercials, really. And Chicago was a great place to be because that was the hub of the advertising agencies.
Yes.
So like I did a big Sears campaign, which was amazing. And once I kind of got into it, it went pretty quick, but it was always the side thing. Never really paid attention to it. Then I moved out to LA.
How long ago did you move to LA?
96.
Okay.
You know, and there are times where you focus more on it. Like, you know, after a few years, I started to focus a little bit more on it and was having some success. And, you know, the more you focused on it, the more success I got.
Yeah.
But when I switched over to being full-time, when I started talking, my husband and I started talking about having kids. Because I've played a lot of pregnant ladies on TV. A lot. I've had every size bump there is to know that you're not working. The moment you're pregnant, you're not making money for a year. Because nobody's going to hire you.
Right.
For on camera.
Yeah.
So, and that was how I made a living. So,
yeah.
And my husband's a drummer. So I didn't, you know, we were both, you know, in that
land. The actor was supporting the drummer. I know how that goes.
It was just, you know, a shared folly.
Yeah.
So when we talked about that, I was like, well, the one thing I knew I could do was voiceover. So I actually did one of those things where I put a plan together. That was early on before people did the home studios. That was really early on. Really the only people that had done that were radio people.
Who are working
because
every,
have the ability to do that.
Right.
So it was early on for me and I was like, well, if I put a studio together in my closet, I can go after agents all across the country.
And you were thinking about this in the mid-90s?
No, that must have been the early 2000s. So somewhere in there. Because so it would have been like a year or so before getting pregnant or having my kid.
Yeah.
And in doing that, you know, and that was the first time I was also kind of discovering promo.
Mm-hmm.
My agency at that time did not have a promo department.
Mm-hmm.
When I brought it up to the head of the agency, who I adore, but he was like, "No, you're not, like, there's nothing for you." So I went and put a promo demo together.
Don't tell me.
Oh, totally. It's the best thing anybody can ever say to you.
Yeah.
Especially a man.
Yeah.
Any man telling you that you can't do that, like, there's no job. That's kind of been the thing that drives me for everything.
Yeah.
And so I put a promo demo together, and he was the first one, like, when I played it for him, he was like, "I was wrong." But they didn't have a promo department.
Yeah.
So I went across the country. I picked up agencies everywhere. I had agents all over the country. And within 6 months of my plan, I'd completely transitioned into full-time voiceover. It took off. And then I got pregnant.
So that's pretty good timing.
Yeah.
I mean, because to be able to work from home and to be able to audition from home.
It's like the golden handcuffs that everybody loves to say. Yeah. But it was amazing for me because I was able to have my kids.
Yeah.
And they were back to back. And I took a total of 2 weeks off for both of them. The second time, it was 5 days. Like, I had a campaign that I was working on, and they had the edit, you know, you're like, I have pumped through so many jobs.
Yeah. Oh, I did. When Esther was 2 weeks old, I want to say, I had been working for CBS doing promos for daytime.
Yes.
And, Eve Schultz, she's the producer. She was fabulous. And they called and said, we need Kay. And I'm like, I just had a baby. And they said, bring her.
And so, we all know that the moment you're not there for your job, it just is one of those things in this business that most jobs are not contract. And the moment somebody else steps in, like you're a temp, like everybody else gets a temp, that just comes in to whiz in and do their little work and they leave.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with what we do, the moment somebody else hears another voice, it could be awful. The person could be terrible.
Right.
But it's something new, and somebody at the top goes, well, that was refreshing.
That was different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Well, God bless Eve, because she said, just bring her. And so, honest to God, Esther was attached to my boob, and I'm standing in the booth, and they're like, we're rolling. And, but it was fabulous. And I worked for them for another 2 years. And so Eve saw Esther grow up, and, you know, and it was a great time. But that's, you know, and I would think I was super fortunate that the producer on that was a woman, and
was like,
I'd love to see your baby, you know?
Right.
So I know that that's,
so they
that's
were enabled rare, you to be able to, like for, I mean, and I'm not, it's not a man or a woman thing, but for, you know, people in this business where everything's very timely, everything's gotta be right now. Right. It's not like you can go, well, I'll get to that next week. It's always
now,
and meaning like within the hour. Or it was, you know, being able to work from home, like you've got the chaos. It's like all this stuff that goes on behind Oz's, you know, screen.
Pay attention.
Because they have no idea the full chaos that's going in the background.
Right.
And it's a testament to the people that really do this job that you're able to close it down enough to focus and do your job.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's
truly, you just like, closing the door. I'll be out in 10 minutes. Like,
and there was something,
you know?
I have to say, as a woman in this business, there was something about having my kids around that time that I think allowed me to get out of my own way about it. Just in terms of, we're all so creative, people in general are so heady and tied to it and tied to, you know, the positive and the negative. And, you know, there is that thing of when you have a family, when you have something so all encompassing that takes your focus, it takes away all of the doubt. Like, you got to get in there and you do your job. You know? Like, you do your job. It's like, this is what you do. And I think it's also a mix of, like, I love acting, and that's why I feel like I'm good at what I do.
Right.
Like, that's what serves me in this business. And partly why I love voiceover so much. But to be able to pull all that together, it clicked. It was all the things, all my strengths fit in, you know. It's not just the creativity, it's you're in business for yourself.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of that right side of your brain going on.
Yes.
And that was really good for me. So
it's true. It is very, very focusing. And I do think that there are a lot of strengths that are engaged in voiceover, aside from the fact that you have an interesting voice or a good read, or, you know, there's just a lot more to it.
Oh, you wait. And I mean, I don't want to take away from other people doing it. Like, you know, sometimes I look at actors and I'm like, it's a gift to just act. When you're doing voiceover, you're the engineer, you're the director, you're the producer.
Yeah.
Because most of the job, and not just for your auditions, most of the jobs I do, I am all of those things on that job.
Yep.
Like, absolutely. I'm sending them what's basically a finished product. And
they just lay
for
it
those
in.
Of yep. you in voiceover that think you don't have to do that, think again.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to end up on the air.
And I think that those people, because I think we probably know a lot of them,
yes.
you know, where if you were unwilling to change with the times, you don't have a career anymore.
Right.
Oh. And so, no, I'm not going to get a studio. I'm just going to go in.
Oh.
You know, or I'm, I know I'm not going to get ISDN. You know, no, I'm not going to get a website. No, I'm not going to do, I'm just going to have my, I'm going to send them my cassette.
You know, yeah, or, exactly.
You know, or my CD or whatever.
Technology has completely changed yes. our industry.
Yeah.
In amazing ways and in ways that are so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, you know, having time off, having a vacation,
yeah.
like all those things. Like, again, it's, I'm glad to have the problem. There is a thing about the jobs that come by that you either get or you don't get. And we've talked about this, about the jobs that have gone away and you go, well, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah,
like I sure. was up for, when Obama was running
mm-hmm.
the first time around,
mm-hmm.
I was up for that voice. It was
of the campaign,
of the campaign,
of the political campaign.
The female political campaign.
Awesome.
It was between me and somebody else. And the political is worse than any other field oh, of this business.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's, yeah. And
it's awesome and awful.
Well, because and when we say it means you're on call 24 hours
yes.
a day. I mean, 20. So I was like, as much as I've totally given away that, I mean, that I'm an Obama supporter, not that I really care. I love him. But it was interesting because let me say, first of all, I wouldn't even put my life in that much of chaos for something I hated.
Yeah, sure.
I couldn't do that. And yeah. I was lucky enough, I wasn't in a position to have to make that choice. I
yeah.
was doing great.
Yeah.
But I remember going, oh, I got kids. Do I really, like, I had little kids at the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah, as much as I want to support them.
And I remember saying, yeah, I'll do it. But, you know, it's that funny thing of, like, it came and went. The other person got it. And I was like, oh, thank God.
I think maybe that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I work for one agency that does a lot of political work. I've worked for them every political season for like a decade,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's funny. Often it comes at the end of the year, you know,
yep.
and it's sort of like, oh, you know, but it's true. It's, you know, you send in what they give you and 15 minutes later we've rewritten the script and they send it back. And then the people I worked for, they do mostly propositions. And
mm-hmm.
so once they get something on the air, then the rebuttal comes. And so then you have to answer it. And so it's like, it's constant
changing.
And,
yeah.
So it's a quick and dirty, right?
Yep.
You can make really good money in a short span of time just by virtue of the sheer number of spots that you're doing.
Right. And, exactly.
You know, yeah. Yeah. Those are crazy jobs, which, you know, truly you're right. It's like in the middle of it, you go, oh, I'm eating dinner and I don't want to go back out.
It's 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m.
And some yeah. crap is, you know.
I just had my third vodka.
Like,
okay. You know,
okay,
let's
talk about that one for a second. I know this is your podcast, but let's talk about that for a second.
All right.
So my favorite one
I don't even drink vodka, okay? Mm-hmm.
We don't drink.
No.
What?
No. We're not drinking now.
But I always love that because it just makes you sound like you're such
right?
a big drinker. But also working at home and dealing with all that, those things come up, like,
yeah, sure.
And the way this business is, like, right now I work starting at 6 a.m. every morning, and it's common that at 8 o'clock at night I'm still working.
Yeah,
I may have had, like, it could have been straight through all day.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a day where I've had little breaks in there. It's every day is different.
Yeah,
but there are those times where you're like, all of a sudden you get something, and it's the end. You know, towards the end of the night, like, and you're already out.
Yeah.
And I've done that thing of like, okay, let me just nail it out before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Have you ever have you ever listened to your stuff the next morning?
Yeah.
I had to redo and send it. Not because they said anything,
right.
But I listened to it in the morning and I was like, wow, I am way too relaxed for
yeah.
that spot.
Yeah.
I can't believe I did it in time. but let's just, still, and you send it, and you're like, hey, just had a listen. I think this is a better take.
Okay. So tell me, what's your dream voiceover job? Do you have one?
I'd love a new network, like its own, that you get to create the image for.
Like that your voice is the branded.
Like there are certain ones that you go that are just one voice, and I love variety. So that's why I say a whole network, because it's, you know, a lot of them now break it down. Like you see like ABC, they'll have the comedy person,
right?
And they have the drama person.
Right.
All the big networks are like that. They have it broken down so that they can
differentiate. And they break it down sometimes by show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like there are some that'll just follow, but then, you know, others that we're going to go show by show and have, you know, so they can differentiate it throughout the, and I kind of think we in some ways we're past, like, because everybody's trying to differentiate the show, because the show is going to have an afterlife somewhere else.
Right.
We all know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't exist as much, but you know, it's like, you can always look back and go, there are certain voices that I have a distinct, like the Bravo guy, like, you know, it's very distinctive.
To be able to be the voice of a station where you do the comedy, you do the drama, you do the news, you do the, you know, those are all different approaches to promo, and to be able to do all of them is like, it requires a lot of skill.
I would say I do not compete against other women for work. I compete against men. Women have such a slim margin of the work that's out there that I have no desire to go for that work. It's not that I don't want women's shows or anything. It's not that.
Right.
It's that they're not my competition. You're not my competition. We may be up for the same thing, but I don't look at it that way. I always look at the guys are my competition.
Right. If you had another career of your choice, what would it be?
I mean, I always thought when I got into it full time that I would go back to the state, you know, like later on, you know, when you had a little bit more time, or the kids were older. That was a big thing too.
Sure, right.
Like, I'm not doing a show right now. Like I had kids because I want to be around them. You know, I'd like to see them.
Yeah.
I have a hard time answering that right now because I love doing what I do and I have so many challenges. I am interested in all jobs. There were too many things I wanted to be when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I wanted to be everything. It wasn't even that it changed week to week. It was that it was always everything.
Always everything.
It wasn't like this week it's a nurse and next week it's an FBI agent and next week. And there are times where I've looked into all of those careers. There wasn't one of them that overtook any of the other ones.
Yeah.
The FBI agent though, I probably went further on trying to kind of explore that one.
Interesting.
But I couldn't, like, the whole your drug past, it just kind of killed me.
It doesn't really work,
killed me.
That's a bummer.
I don't even have that much of a drug past, but I have enough that I answered yes on too many of their questions. I'm like, really? Is this really, this day and age, make that much of a difference?
Yeah.
Don't you want somebody that has some experience?
Yeah, exactly. This could really be
I never understood that. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, don't you want somebody that kind of gets some of this at least? Just even.
You would think.
You would think.
So if you had to name one person who really gave you a leg up in your career, who might that be?
Oh, a leg up.
I think things would be very different if not for this person or someone who just really, really believed in you, encouraged you.
Oh, it's so bad. Now, okay, so you know how you have something that jumps in your head immediately?
Yeah, and then it's gone?
No, it stays there and blocks out any other potential answers. I've had a lot of good coaches. I've had a lot of some good agents along the way, some good producers that have done my demos and stuff that really believed in me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've been lucky to have that. But I have to say, when I was in Chicago, I worked at a really high-end health club. And one of the things I did was I was a swim instructor and a lifeguard. And worked at the restaurant. I did all of it. But
because you do everything.
Because I do everything.
All the time.
I'm so interested in all of it. I'm like, I'll take all three of those jobs while I'm here. Yeah. Right. When I was teaching lessons, I had this guy, an older guy, and he was just delightful. And he was one of those that would try to get out of doing when I was trying to get him to do stuff by talking to me. Just made his sessions longer. That's all. And I was there anyway. I'm like, but like, you know, a couple times he was like, well, do you want to go get lunch? And it wasn't inappropriate, but that was the time where I was putting together my first demo. And it was a big deal and it's expensive.
Yes.
And at some point we went to lunch. I think we went to lunch maybe one other time. At one point he gave me this envelope. He gets ready to go to the bathroom and he hands me this envelope. And he's like, I really want to help you with your demo. Best thing he said to me, please, I have so much money. This is not a big deal to me. What would be what, how I would like you to deal with it is at some point in your life, I would like you to turn around and do the same thing for somebody else that is in need. So I would like you to think of it that way. I'm just trying to support something I believe in. You sound very passionate about this. And it was like enough to pay for like half my demo, which was a huge thing.
Yeah.
When you're 23 and everything you're going is paying your rent and everything. You're trying to like to put together when your agent says, well, I need you to get a demo together to do this voiceover thing. It was a huge thing to me. And I've actually I've turned around and done that with no strings,
right.
No expectation, just purely out of there's a moment where somebody's in need. And it was just very specifically for me, a money thing. Like, I'd like to think we all as humans support sure. each other and yeah. can be there. But it was a big thing for somebody that didn't know me very well. That was just, you know what I mean? Like yeah. it was such a detached thing to do. So I've done that a few times in my life where it's so detached. So it's not expected and moving on. And I just thought that was an amazing thing.
I think giving is such a lovely thing.
Yes.
But what's required is for the recipient to accept.
Yes.
Or we can't give.
It's right.
It makes it impossible. And so, and I do think that it is hard for people to receive.
Yes.
And so the idea of let me take the pressure off of you by requesting that
right.
you do the same thing.
Which was great because it made it easier to accept
it. Possible. It makes
because
it possible to accept.
Like, it was weird. You're like, I don't know if I can do this. But to say that, this comes with a stipulation of something that, and let's be honest, he would never know if I did again. I don't even remember the guy's name. Like, it's so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, would have no, you could say his name and I wouldn't know that was him anymore. But for me to know that I had a task involved with it and then to always kind of have, you know, like, and I liked it and it made me feel so good. So to know that, you know, he's like, I know you'll get to a place where you'll be able to do this for somebody else.
The confidence.
And then to get to that place
in you, yeah.
and you're like, oh my God, I'm in that place and I can
and
do
I can
it.
Do it.
Like, this doesn't,
I love those kind of stories because it really does set up the whole idea that we are, it's possible for us to do good.
Yes.
And it's possible for us to sort of be a part of that wheel. You're familiar with the Actors Studio, James
mm-hmm.
Lipton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have always loved that little questionnaire.
The questionnaire.
So many people do,
oh my
right?
gosh. I haven't watched it in years.
I haven't either, but it always stuck with me. So I had it for a while on my website. Like, I answered the questions, you know.
Oh, I love that.
On my website. But after a while,
I don't even remember them all. I'll remember them when you say them. But
yeah. So they're fun. So that's how we're going to close this
Okay.
out.
Love it.
So what is your favorite word?
Gorgeous. When my husband says gorgeous in his accent, it's just a good word and how it sounds.
Yeah. What is your least favorite word?
Panties. 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 What? A phrase. Moist panties. There you go. Moist panties. There's nothing good about that at all. Like, I know as a phrase, it's not good either, but those two words individually are awful. Panties, just how it sounds. It's not what it represents, you know.
It's the eh.
Yeah. It's the eh. Panties. Panties.
Anyway.
And then moist. And then you put it together, and that's just disgusting.
Over the top.
So moist panties.
Fantastic.
Oh, wait, I do have one more.
Okay.
This is a big one for me, though.
Okay.
I haven't experienced it in a long time. Moist and panties, you hear all the time, so it stays fresh.
Do you?
I do. Still. Well, again, separately, not together.
Okay.
Chubby?
Chubby.
Having a chubby? Not being chubby.
Having a chubby.
Why would any person ever call it a chubby? I find it repulsive.
This is going to be the most highly rated podcast. I just know it.
I can't
it's
help
awesome.
It.
No,
I can't
that's
help
why
it.
I love you.
The way my brain works.
I can't wait for the answer to this next question.
Oh, no.
What turns you on?
Oh, there's a few things. my husband's accent saying certain words.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like chubby.
If he said that, I'd punch him. Thank God we have that kind of relationship and he would understand.
Like, is he
Liverpool. Liverpudlian.
Liverpudlian.
Scouser. And he's got that Ringo accent. And though it's funny, I don't even find Ringo attractive at all. But him, he's got such a low register, my husband. And yeah, it's quite something.
What turns you off?
My husband talking, about my husband saying panties with an American accent. what turns me off?
Turns you off? Doesn't necessarily have to be sexual.
There are a couple things. Like, it's just ignorance and hatred. It's vile to me.
What sound or noise do you love?
Kids laughing. It's always specifically your own kids. It's sure. really hard not to say that.
Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the sound of my husband doing paradiddles, which is a drum thing.
I know what a paradiddle
while
is.
I'm watching TV. That's what I hate. I hate it so much. And I love him drumming when he's doing it. I love that. I cannot stand it when I'm trying to watch
to watch TV.
Like Homeland comes on and we're watching. I'm like, no. Especially the shows.
Does he
really
do it on his legs? Or
he'll do it in his lap. He'll do it anywhere. The guy will paradiddle any. And I get it. It's his.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not doing vocal exercises in front of you all the time.
Right. Tim used to do that in his sleep.
Oh, God.
With his feet.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, wow. He's like a... having spasms of some sort. And
he's then having realized, dreams. He's on stage right now.
There's a rhythm here. That's like, there's a pattern. What profession would you absolutely
least
not want to do?
You know, there's a lot of them that deal with excrement that you don't really want it, that nobody's anxious to deal with. But I find something very calming about cleaning. So that, you know, but I got to tell you, I think the ones where you're subjected to other people yelling at you because they're angry and you do not have
to take it.
And you have to take it. And you can't, like, that, I think, goes against my nature.
If heaven exists.
Yeah, I hope it does.
What would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, all your friends are here. Yeah.
And, like, come in? Or neener, neener, neener.
Oh, yeah. I was expecting always going in. What kind of thing is that? I was expecting. Look at me. I just expect them coming in. Clearly, we'll have some words.
I just wanted to clarify that that's what you meant. Like,
I'm dying for him to go.
Come in.
You know, everybody that you care about and love is right here waiting, and you got to go the other way.
Yeah, yours is the next door down.
Which it may be, but I still think most of my friends will be there.
I just thought it was like, oh, your friends are
my
here.
My expectations.
And you're like waiting.
I'm like, and.
So, and come
I mean, how
in.
Great would that be? Just all your friends and family, they're waiting for, like, just like coming into a great party.
Virginia Hamilton, thank you so much for being here.
Kate, that's a pleasure.
Where can people find you if they want to find you in terms of, like, they want to go hear your work? What's your website?
VirginiaHamilton.net.
.net. Do you tweet?
I do tweet.
Can people follow you?
Yes, and they can find that. And
what's your handle?
You can just look up my name, and I'm there.
Look her up.
It might even be Virginia Hamilton voiceover. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just signed in.
You're signed in, but you don't know who you are.
I don't need to look at who I am. I know who I am. I look at other people.
You clearly do know who you are. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure. So much fun. And now we're going to talk about more stuff.
Yeah. Off the air.
Thanks for joining me today in the Beehive. For podcast notes, pictures, and more information on my guests, visit the podcast website, thebeehivepodcast.com. Find me at my website, kbess.com. Follow me on Twitter at kbess and subscribe to my channel on YouTube. If you've a mind to, please post a review of the podcast on iTunes. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and good for the bones. Come back for more Women in Voiceover next time in the Beehive. Yeah.